Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, and today is brought to you by Haney University. Getting better at golf is what I am into, helping people getting better at golf, and you can do it by going to HaneyUniversity.com. You can find some great deals on there, but the most important deal is to register for my free instructional videos. I've been hard at work filming more of them, so there will be more going out in short order. You can also find all the information if you want to take a private golf lesson from me, because I am back teaching starting in November. So there you go, at HaneyUniversity.com. So go there and check it out. All right. Big golf news this last week. Rory McIlroy wins again, back in the news. Floodgates open. Of course, anytime Rory wins, it's a big thing. He won the CJ Cup at the beautiful Summit in Las Vegas, which is a Discovery Land property. One of my good friends, Mike Melbourne, owns Discovery Land, and he's got incredible properties that I have been lucky enough to be members at, like El Dorado and Cabo San Lucas, Gaza Ranch up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Vaquero in Texas. All of those courses I have actually had houses at, and I love Discovery Land, and the Summit is one of their places, and it is like off the charts. The golf course looks phenomenal. Tommy Armour's out there. My friend Tommy Armour is involved in the real estate sales out there and has told me how great it is. Mark O'Meara is a member out there, told me how great it is. I haven't actually have not been there yet, but the CJ Cup is a limited field event. I want to touch on that first. Okay, not that it's a great event. I mean, and it's a, you know, good field, a lot of top players. You know, they're out there. There's no two ways about that. I mean, not everybody was there, but it was a very representative field. But let me explain. It is easier to win a short field event. It just is. I mean, I coached on tour for, you know, 30 years, 30 something years. I don't know, 35 years, whatever. It's just easier to win a short field. I'm not taking anything away from it. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour. You know, everybody tells you that all the time. But it's easier to win a short field event. Now, this was not the Tour Championship where you had 30 people. So you got 29 people to beat. But there's like 77 people at the CJ Cup. It's easier. Like WGC events, good field. A lot of prestige. Maybe you could say there's a little more pressure. There's no more pressure at the CJ Cup, but I'm just using the limited field as an example. But when there's no cut and it's a smaller field, I mean, it's easier to win. It just is. I mean, that's just a fact. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, winning the CJ Cup isn't as good or better than winning, whatever, pick a tournament on tour. There's enough of them. They're all the time, you know, and half of them got, you know, really bad fields. I mean, like they're, you know, one step up from a buy.com or whatever they call that, you know, their other tour. I mean, Korn Ferry, whatever that thing is. One step up sometimes. But the CJ Cup's a good tournament. The point I want to make is when I was with Tiger Woods for 6 years, whenever he would play in a tournament with no cut and a short field event, I always felt like the odds are even higher that he was going to win. That's my only point. Now, obviously, if you got a better field, then it makes it harder. But a full field and tough field is one thing. full field, tough field, major championship is another thing because you got the pressure because you really got something to, that you're winning for. And then, you know, full field, pretty good field. I don't know what's easier. Full field, pretty good field, or no cut, you know, decent field, better than decent field, CJ Cup field. Anyway, there's levels of tournaments and short field events. Just remember that short field events are easier to win. Okay, that's my point. Now, McIlroy wins shooting 25 under par. Everybody has a formula for winning. Now, when Tiger was dominating the tour, like the likes of which have never been seen before and will never be seen again, he had multiple ways to win. He could ball strike his way around and win a tournament. He could short game and putt his way around if his ball striking wasn't that great and he could win a tournament. One thing that was very typical of his formula is that he would eat up the par fives. So I always thought, okay, you know, he's going to hit three par. If there's four par fives, he's going to hit three of them in two. So he's three under. He's going to stiff it once or twice, you know, where he's just not going to miss. Okay, now he's five under. He's going to drain a putt somewhere. Okay, he's six under. And then it just boils down to, you know, does he get it up and in every time and shoot six under? Or does he get it up and in, you know, two out of four and shoot, you know, four under? Does he get it up and in three out of four and shoot five under? And then, and you know, add that up in four rounds and, you know, it's just, he's going to win. And he did over 50% of the time when I helped him. But a big part of his formula was the par five. That's Roy McIlroy's formula too, is the par fives. Okay, Roy McIlroy was 15 under par on the par fives. Now, he made a triple bogey. You know, I always talk about, you know, you got to eliminate penalty shots, two chips, and three putts. He had a triple bogey in the first round. Now, he only made two other bogeys for the week. So you take a triple, that's the equivalent of three bogeys. But that would be five bogeys for a week. That'd be, you know, barely more than, you know, one and a quarter a day. And that's not many. But he made three eagles because, like I've said many, many times, there are no par fives for Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau and, you know, these guys that just bomb it out there. There's no par fives. So they're playing a par 68 golf course. And for all intents and purposes, you know, four under, if there's four par fives, four under par round, these long hitters are 16 under par before the week starts. All right. Okay. Roy McIlroy is 15 under par in the par fives, 15 under par, which is one worse than, you know, when I give you the example that they're 16 under before the tournament starts. So he's 15 under on the par fives. But he shoots 25 under. He played the other holes, you know, the other, what was it, 56 holes. He plays those in 10 under. That formula, you know, works. But it doesn't work well if there's only two par fives. It doesn't work as good if there's only three par fives. It doesn't work as good if there's a 600-something-yard par five that you can't reach. This golf course had par five. This is a Fazio course. And Fazio builds great members clubs. But they're not to be confused with hard tournament courses. I mean, they're just not. And I don't know what his hardest course would be, but they're just all great members courses, very playable. I don't find them easy, but for these guys, they're easy. Okay. So McIlroy wins, and of course, everybody wants to, you know, talk about, you know, the floodgates are going to open, and he talks about it too. know, he was 15th in the world going into this event at the CJ Cup, and he wins, and now he's eighth in the world, and he's talking about how, you know, he used to be number one, and he's number one, you know, July of 2020, and then, you know, that was before the pandemic. Like what does that have to do with anything? Like, it's amazing how the pandemic is an excuse for everything. It's definitely an excuse for businesses, for sure. It's an excuse for not being like, you can't find anything. Like, I'm building this or, remodeling our house, can't find stuff. It's because of the pandemic. You know, you can't get any workers because of the pandemic. You can't get, this. It's a pandemic. Everything's, it's a catch-all, just blame it. And so Rory, I was listening to his press conference. Like, he talked about, before the pandemic, I don't know, maybe, did he have COVID? Okay, maybe he did, but I don't remember him being on his deathbed. I mean, I had COVID, but I mean, it's a 10 days, it's a 2 weeks. It's not good. I'm not saying it is. You don't go from eight, he went from first to 15th because of the pandemic. I don't think so. I mean, like, it wasn't as up for playing with the people and no fans. I didn't play as good. I mean, no, sorry. I'm not buying that. I buy statistics. So I look at the statistics, 2010 or two, I'm sorry, 2021, the stats. 2021, 10th in strokes gained tee to green. That's one of the highest rating seasons. That's not bad, though. 10th is still good. He was 6th in 2020, but he's always top 10. He's barely top 10 last year. Putting, 66. That's actually a good year for Roy McIlroy. 66 was 2021 statistics. He was 122nd in 2020. He was 24th in 2019. He was 97th in 2018, 159th in 2017. 139th in 2016. So, I mean, it's just that's kind of where he is. Last year was actually a better putting year. Pretty much fueled by the fact that he was number one in putting at Wells Fargo when he won. See, this is the second win he's had in the calendar year. He won Wells Fargo too, which he's got a great record at Wells Fargo. That's a course that he just always does good at. Horses for courses. Everybody sees that. Everybody knows that. One of them is the Wells Fargo. But this last tournament at the Summit, he said he liked the greens. He said less for him to worry about because there's no grain. They're bent grass greens. They're not Bermuda grass greens. It's just pretty much what you see is what you get. You know, when you're playing Florida or Bermuda greens, you got to factor in the grain and the slope and everything else. It's a little harder to do. So that's a factor that he talked about, made it really good. But this is unusual. When somebody's shooting 25 under par and they're 17th in strokes gained tee to green. But see, he was second off the tee. So you're second off the tee, that allows you to eat up the par fives. And he's 15 under the par fives. So there you go. That's how he wins it. He's the 39th player to win 20 events on the PGA Tour. 39th. Tied Greg Norman for that. Greg Norman's another one who's won the 30. He's 32 years old, or he won 20 events, but he's 32 years old. Tiger did that at 24 years old. There'll never be another Tiger Woods. Never. There just won't be. I mean, it's amazing. I want to go through some of my thoughts on where Roy McIlroy is and where he goes goes from here. We'll do that when we come back. Remember the free Voodoo offer if you haven't taken me up on it. My Voodoo pain relief cream is my tremendous product that people absolutely love who try it. And you can try it for free. We get a free 2-week supply. So go and check it out at voodoopainrelief.com and your arthritis will feel much, much, much better. Much better. Absolutely guaranteed. Well, it's better than guaranteed. It's free. So you can try a free 2-week supply and find out for yourself. I'm reading this article online, and it talked about how Roy McIlroy hadn't won for 1 year, 6 months, and 6 days before he won at Wells Fargo. That is a long time not winning for somebody that talented, I can tell you that much. And then he goes 5 months, and he wins the CJ Cup. That ends up making his year pretty good. Now, what he was doing playing at the CJ Cup, who knows? Because he talked about how at the Ryder Cup, you know, he didn't play on Saturday in the four ball, or in the foursomes, the alternates, but they played in the afternoon four ball. And he lost, and he was off to a terrible, you know, start. And then he said that night, Saturday night at the Ryder Cup, I didn't want to see golf again until 2022. How many times has he said something like that in his career? I mean, how many times has he had to push the reset button? This is one of the things, like, as talented as Rory McIlroy is, and he's incredibly talented, Rory McIlroy, he's won four majors. He's 32 years old. He's never won the Masters. He's won the other ones. He's won 20 events on the PGA. He's won like 8 international events, which is kind of remarkable. But he's just played over here mostly. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. But how many times has he had to have a reset? How many times has he said in his career, like, I didn't want to be there, or you know, I didn't want to see golf again until 2022. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, that's like a red flag deal to me. I mean, McIlroy's a great player. There's no doubt about it. I first heard about Rory McIlroy from Mark O'Meara. Mark O'Meara met him over in Ireland because Mark would go over there every year. And before the Open Championship, he met Rory McIlroy. He said, this kid is he's incredibly talented. What a nice kid. And he is a really nice kid. Nice family, the whole thing. You know, Mark loves those kind of guys. I mean, that's his deal. I remember when he told Tiger about Rory. He said, Tiger, I met this kid, Rory McIlroy. This kid's so talented. This kid's like as talented as you were when you're maybe more talented, you know, when you first came out. You know, of course, like, I don't know what Mark was thinking. He was kind of reacting. He was going to get out of Tiger. Remember when he asked Tiger, he said, you know, I think you could play, you know, would you play, you want to play, you know, practice round with him at Augusta? And like, Tiger wasn't playing no practice round with Rory McIlroy. You tell him how talented this kid is. Like, Mark goes into this whole song and dance, and this kid's the most talented kid I've ever seen. And you want to play a practice round with him? What, so he can pick your brain? Why would Tiger Woods do that? This is where Mark didn't get it. He didn't. Tiger didn't want anything. Tiger wouldn't even call the guy back. Are you kidding me? Now it's different now. They're friends or whatever. But that's just that's the winner's mentality. It was just it. But McIlroy's different. I met Rory McIlroy when I was over in Ireland for J.P. McManus's golf tournament. I remember meeting him at, I can remember, it was at the Dare Manor. That's where J.P. McManus owns that. But I remember at the party before the Pro-Am thing started that I was at, J.P. McManus Pro-Am, met Roy. I thought, man, this kid is so nice. Oh, man. You know, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't care how talented he is. He's just almost too nice a kid. That's what I thought. That was my first reaction, you know, because I mean, I was used to Tiger, you know, that's just some of these great individual, you know, athletes, you know, I'm not saying all of them. I mean, Gretzky's in a team sport. He is a great, you know, Michael Phelps, individual athlete, you know, for the most part, you know, really nice guy. Michael Phelps, really nice. But most of the great ones, I mean, they're a little tough, to be honest with you. I didn't see that in Roy when I first met him. I thought, nah. I don't think so. You think Rory McIlroy goes down as like, so far in his career, is he an overachiever, underachiever, or just about right? I don't know. What would you say? I'd have to say, if I was going to like put up my money right now and say, well, how is he going to end his career? What would you view him as? I mean, he's supremely talented. So, I mean, it's hard to live up to that. I get it. But I think so far, I'd have to look at Rory McIlroy and say that he's been an underachiever. And some of it is there's just something, you know, this you know, I didn't want to see Goff again until 2022. It's just that's what it sounds like, you know, from him. Anyway, that was just it was just one of my thoughts. So I'm reading this article, and it talked about, you know, Rory McIlroy. Over the last year, we've seen McIlroy make changes in his swing, highlighted by his pursuit for more distance after Bryson DeChambeau won at Wingfoot. That was a bunch of crap. Rory McIlroy didn't do anything. He didn't try to change his. That's just like a convenient story. They always got to blame it on something. You know, I'm changing my swing. The media, the golf media, all the idiots in the golf media who don't know anything. The idiots in the golf media will get on you if you're playing bad. But all you got to do, if you ever say you're injured, they give you slack. And the other thing they give you slack for whatever reason, they've been trained over the years to do this. Like Tiger trained him on this, okay? And they don't know, you know, their ass from a hole in the ground. They fall for this every time. Somebody in golf says, I'm, you know, working on some swing changes, you know, then they immediately, it's going to take them a little time. They cut everybody slack except when Tiger was changing his swing with me, they didn't cut him any slack. But anyway, everybody else, they give him slack, you know, they give him slack. So they'll say, he's changing his swing, you know, and then they it's like, you know, well, you get as much time as you want while you're changing your swing. See, remember back in March when Rory McIlroy started working with Pete Cowan? Pete Cowan's a great teacher from Europe. Works and has worked with a lot of great players. Anyway, I thought that was a stupid thing. Like I thought that is really dumb. Like Rory McIlroy's had a coach, Michael Bannon, forever. So this is his lifelong coach. And all of a sudden, he's not playing good. And then he starts, you know, you can hear that these guys all do the same thing. See, they go, I'm lost. Okay. And as soon as they say they're lost, the idiots in the golf media pounce on it. Just pounce. Oh, you know what? I think he's going to get a new teacher. First off, Rory McIlroy's not fucking lost. Okay. He's taken lessons from Michael Bannon for his whole life. So how is he lost? Like, where's he lost to? Okay? Where's he confused to? Michael Bannon didn't all of a sudden start teaching. That was a bunch of crock. That's all that was. That was nothing. That was a bunch of crap. That was nothing. But the golf media pounces on it, you know, and he might be making a coaching change. They just say they're lost, you know. It's kind of like when a media says, you know, this coach has lost the team. As soon as they say that, then the media starts going, you know, every sport, baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is. Oh, he's lost the team. In golf, it's the player saying he's lost. And as soon as they say that, then they just start working it. The media does. Anyway, this Michael Bannon got, you know, kicked to the curb, which I thought was just a stupid, stupid mistake. And then I'm not saying Pete Cowan's not a good instructor. He is. But anyway, then they said Cowan came in and he was going to work with Rory McIlroy and this. So anyway, now it turns out that, you know, that didn't work out so good. He didn't do any good. McIlroy, you know, because McIlroy usually does good with a coach right when he first starts. Well, I'm only referring to like what he's done with putting instructors, where he did with Dave Stockton. He did great right when he first started working with him. And then for whatever reason, didn't work with him. And he did great on the putting with, you know, that year that I talked about where he finished in putting. He had, 24th and 2000. See, that's when he worked with the putting whisperer, Brad Faxon. He worked with him. And it usually happens right away for Rory. So when it didn't happen right away for Pete with Rory and Pete Cowan, you know, I thought, oh, this is not a good sign. You know, this is not a good sign. But anyway, so now I understand, at least from this article, it says, well, he's back with Michael Bennett, which is where he should have been the whole time, okay? But he went back to him after the conclusion of the Ryder Cup. So see, this is what happens. These guys start bouncing around. Now, McIlroy's where he needs to be right now. Michael Bannon, his lifelong coach. Just don't mess with it. You know what? He's got a great swing.
He hits the ball great. He's an incredibly talented player. Nobody knows him like Michael Bannon. Nobody knows his swing like Michael Bannon. And that's where he needs to be, period. Okay, so now he's back with them after the Ryder Cup, which was a disaster, even though he won his singles match on Sunday, but the Ryder Cup was a disaster. So anyway, they're talking about this article. A confident Rory McIlroy is a scary sight for the rest of the PGA Tour. No, it isn't. I don't think so, because I don't think anybody's too worried about, they're scared about Rory McIlroy. They all know how talented he is. But you know what he did when he won the CJ Cup? He finished first for the week in putting. You know what he did when he won at Wells Fargo? He finished first for the week in putting. Now, Rory McIlroy is a career mediocre to below average putter. His best year, 2019, he was 24th. That's very good, actually. He was 40-something in 2014, and he's 66th in 2021. 122nd, 97th, 159th, 139th. How many times do you think a putter on the PGA Tour that has those kind of statistics for strokes gained putting, how many times do they finish top 10 in putting? How many times they finish first in strokes gained putting in a tournament when you're the 122nd ranked putter on the PGA Tour? I'll answer that question. Is little or none or never? He's done it twice in the last calendar year. In the last 5.5 months, twice he has been the top putter for the week. You know how many players could win if they were the top putter for the week twice? Rahm would win every time. If Rahm's top putter for the week, forget about it. He's going to win. If Dustin Johnson's top putter for the week, forget about it. He's going to win. If Justin Thomas's top putter for the week, forget about it. He's going to win. Colin Morikawa does the same thing. Top putter for the week, he's going to win. Period. It just doesn't have anything to do with his coach. It doesn't have anything to do with his Michael Bannon. It has to do with the fact that he had 15 under par on par fives because every one of them was reachable, and he drove it straight. So he had a chance to get these holes in two. And you know, on top of the par fives, he finished first in putting. That's the whole thing. Now, why, like, people, oh, man, he's going to, you know what, look out. Here comes the Masters. He's a career mediocre putter who's had two tournaments in the last 5 months where he finished first in putting. Now, what are the odds that on the toughest greens in the tournament with the absolute most pressure, Augusta and the Masters, that he's gonna have his third week, third, in the last whatever, how many months to Augusta? You know, 5 months, 6 months, whatever. In the last year, let's just say in the last year, when the Masters rolls around, then we'll go back a year back. You go back in the last year, you're gonna tell me that he's gonna finish top 10 again? Like three times in a year? No. That's not going to happen. You know, he may win the whatever he plays in next. I don't know. He may win that. He may win another one. He may win the Masters. And then, you know, a win in the Masters and he could be back to number one. I just don't see it. I really don't. And because I think what's going to happen is I think this whole new, you know, equipment stuff. I mean, the whole new, switch to this, switch to that, all that stuff you talk about. It works for a little while and then that's it, you know, or, you know, you switch to this, you switch to that, but can you keep it going? Can you keep it going? And the statistics say otherwise. I think he's destined to just kind of keep doing what he's doing right now. Like the rest of his career, what do I mean, based on what I see, you know, how many more times, he's 32 years old, how many more times is he going to feel like I didn't even want to see Goff for the rest of the year? How many more times is that going to happen? It's going to be more than zero. Let me just put it that way. Okay. 32 years old, though, plenty of long career. Right. He goes out of his way to tell you, though, that Goff's not the most important thing for him. It's another way to deflect. See, deflect the pressure. Said he found out about himself at the CJ at the Ryder Cup in the last round of the Ryder Cup, that he just didn't need to be perfect, that he didn't just needed to go out and, you know, kind of just let it be, let it play. Or he'll tell you, well, you know, there's more important things than golf. Why does somebody say something like that? Why do they say that? I mean, isn't that a given? Doesn't everybody know that? I mean, is there anybody on tour that thinks that golf is the most important thing in that person's life? I mean, like, really, like, everybody's got a big life. They got family, they got kids, they got, you know, mothers and fathers, they've got, you know, they got a lot of things in life. Do you have to say that, you know, there's more important things than golf? I mean, isn't that a given? What does that mean? Why does somebody say that? I don't understand. I thought you were just live, die, and breathe golf. Nobody does that. This is about hitting fairways and hitting greens and making putts. That's what it's about. Keeping the ball in play, not taking penalty strokes. But the reality of it is that, yeah, no doubt about it. If Rory finishes first in putting like three times a year, he's going to do great. But that's not going to happen. That's not gonna, he's in the last 5.5 months, he's blitzed it. Finished first in putting for those 2 weeks. That's not going to happen again. I'll just tell you what could happen again. He could win for sure. He could win any term for sure. But I can promise you, in the next 5.5 months, just like it happened in the last 5 months, Rory McIlroy will not finish first in putting for the week two more times. It's not going to happen. And that's what he did in the two tournaments he won by a shot. A shot. Yeah. No, that's not a formula for floodgates. I can tell you that much. Great player. Surefire Hall of Famer. But that's not a formula for floodgates. So... remember that when you read all these articles. Anyway, hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the analysis. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app so you get the podcast every day. Go to HaneyUniversity.com. Check out all the information about my upcoming availability for lessons. And go to VoodooPainRelief.com to get your free Voodoo Pain Relief. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy. And we'll talk to you soon on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.